Ooh, it looks different from up here. Sorry if I look like a bit of a robot up here. For some reason, of all the mornings, I locked up my neck this morning, so now I can't move it very far, but hopefully I don't look too stiff. As I was thinking these past couple weeks on what I was going to share, I kept coming back to prayer, and maybe that's just because I was doing so much of it as I was thinking, but God really put it on my heart to share about prayer. I'm going to start out in Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. And it was basically where the disciples were asking Jesus how to pray. They had a specific way that they prayed. They prayed three times a day, and they saw that he did it differently. So they were asking him. And it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" I'm going to go over four different points that I'm not sure why, but as I was studying, kind of came to my mind. The first will be what we should pray for, and then how we should pray, when we should pray, and why we should pray. What should we pray for? Shootings, elections, COVID, and cancel culture have all left us feeling unsettled and overwhelmed. Many of us have prayed more in the last year, three, or however long. We've prayed for safety, for healing, for peace. We've asked God what he's doing and when the struggle will end. Maybe you've prayed for particular politicians or laws, or for your pastor or church to change in some way. When King Solomon built and dedicated the temple to the Lord, he led Israel with this prayer: "Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." 2 Chronicles 6:40. Solomon was prepared to speak to God in the holy place. He confessed his people's failings and their struggle to know God. When he prayed, he expected God to answer. God will answer you, too, if your prayers come from a heart that seeks him. To help you pray for things God wants to give you, look at these categories. Number one, salvation. God's favorite prayer is the sinner's prayer. When we ask Jesus to save us from our sins and take control of our lives, all of heaven rejoices. It doesn't matter how badly you've messed up in your life. God loves this prayer and he will answer it. Forgiveness. God doesn't hear our prayers when we hold on to our sins, but he will answer us when we confess and run away from sinful thoughts and actions. Number three, wisdom. Often we pray and ask God what decision to make or what His will is for our lives. Asking for wisdom is even better than asking for God's will, because wisdom allows you to discern the path God wants you to take. The decisions along that way will come naturally to a heart that's listening to God. Humility. All throughout the Bible, God warns us against pride and instructs us to worship the Lord. Only a truly humble spirit that recognized God's authority can give God the glory for everything that happens. Compassion. In a polarizing culture, compassion gets relegated to certain sects of people, those we want to help, those we choose to help. Jesus' life was marked by compassion for the masses. He saw their spiritual and physical needs, and He stepped into the discomfort of their lives to help them. Selective compassion is actually just pity. Grace. Do you struggle to be patient and loving with difficult people? Are gossip and criticism a natural reaction to disappointment? Pray for God's grace to infuse your thoughts. Remind yourself daily the grace God has given to you. The Holy Spirit. This prayer often scares us because we are not sure what the Holy Spirit might do to us. He's such a complex person, but Jesus told us to pray for the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God will give us comfort, power, and discernment. And He will interpret our groanings and grief when we don't know what to pray for. Resistance to temptation. The devil is no character with a pitchfork. He's called a roaring lion and a deceiver. His mission is to ruin and kill you. Temptation, which comes from him, must be taken seriously. Resist it and follow God's commands so the devil won't control you. Love. Real love requires intentionality and sacrifice. Love results from the Holy Spirit's presence and filling. Jesus told us to love God first and one another second. In Scripture, agape love is always an action, not an emotion. Enemies. As if loving family and neighbors weren't hard enough, Jesus commanded us to love our enemies. Every person on the planet is equally valuable to God. He created each to love and serve Him, even though many people don't. We aren't called to judge them, only to love them. Believers. Christ followers must hold one another up in prayer. We should intercede and wage spiritual warfare for one another. We can even confess one another's sins. All of these prayers will bind our hearts together and hinder the devil from gaining a foothold in our lives. Endurance. Life's trials demand more endurance than we naturally produce. We must pray for God's power, and we must believe that He holds us and protects us, even when circumstances say otherwise. Faith produces endurance, and endurance strengthens our faith. Boldness to share the gospel. The devil wants to scare us into keeping us silent about God's truth, the value of the church, and the blessings that He lavishes on us. We must declare truth boldly, not with judgment or arrogance, but with the humility and grace that are indicative of good news of Jesus Christ. Deliverance. Pray for God to deliver you from hardship. Practice lamenting over the pain you are experiencing. God promises that He won't forsake us. God is called the deliverer, so He will deliver you from crisis if you wait on Him. The devil controls our world, so the events in this world will always be unfair and unjust. Instead of being angry at one another or turning every issue into a government problem, let's pray for God to bring justice, often called righteousness in the Bible, in the way that He wants through us, the church. Spiritual impact. We should pray for opportunities to share God's love every day through our words, our actions, our lifestyles, and our worldview. How we serve God during our life has a massive impact on future generations. Praying for impact also helps us stay focused on what really matters rather than being distracted by our daily troubles. Healing and comfort. No matter what you're going through, you can pray for comfort and healing, and God will hear you. We don't often understand God's will and timing, but we can be confident in His love and comfort during our darkest days. God's will. Sometimes we find ourselves at an impasse over a decision or a relationship. Pray about what to do. Pray for God to show you how you can lean into His Spirit more each day. Listen for His voice and follow Him. God will always lead you in His will. Daily needs. God meets daily material needs through Scripture. He can provide food and shelter in any number of ways, and learning to wait for Him to provide strengthens your faith. Don't be too proud to ask God for the ordinary things you need every day. He wants to provide them. God's perspective. Jesus called this the kingdom. He did not make us for this world, but for heaven. We are all called to live out His kingdom on earth by representing Jesus in all we say and do. Our worldview must be from His vantage point and for His purpose. When we look at the world through its own lens, we will only feel despair and hopelessness. Those are just some things that are many of us need to pray for, and there are many other things that we need to pray for, but I thought that was a good list. The next point is how we should pray, and there's many different ways, but I thought this summed it up really well. How we should pray, or what is the proper way to pray? Is it best to pray standing up, sitting down, kneeling, or bowing down? Should our hands be open, closed, or lifted up to God? Do our eyes need to be closed when we pray? Is it better to pray in a church building or out in nature? Should we pray in the morning when we get up, or at night before we go to bed? Are there certain words we need to say in our prayers? How do we begin our prayers? What is the proper way to close a prayer? These questions and others are common questions asked about prayer. What is the proper way to pray? Do any of the above things even matter? Far too often, prayer is viewed as a magic formula. Some believe that if we do not say exactly the right things or pray in the right position, God will not hear and answer our prayer. This is completely unbiblical. God does not answer our prayers based on what we pray, where we are, what position our body is in, or in what order we word our prayers. We are told in 1 John 5:14-15 to have confidence when we come to God in prayer, knowing He hears us and will grant whatever we ask as long as it is in His will. Similarly, John 14:13-14 declares, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." According to these and many other scriptures, God answers prayer requests based on whether they are asked according to His will and in the name of Jesus. So what is the proper way to pray? Philippians 4:6-7 tells us to pray without being anxious, to pray about everything, to pray with thankful hearts. God will answer all such prayers with the gift of His peace in our hearts. The proper way to pray is to pour out our hearts to God, being honest and open with God, as He already knows us better than we know ourselves. We are to present our requests to God, keeping in mind that God knows what is best and will not grant a request that is not His will for us. We are to express our love, gratitude, and worship to God in prayer, without worrying about having just the right words to say. God is more interested in the content of our hearts than the eloquence of our words. The closest the Bible comes to giving a pattern for prayer is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:9-13. Please understand that the Lord's Prayer is not always a prayer that we are to memorize and recite to God. It is an example of the things that should go into a prayer: worship, trust in God, requests, confession, and submission. We are to pray for the things the Lord's Prayer talks about, using our own words and customizing it to our own journey with God. The proper way to pray is to express our hearts to God, sitting, standing, or kneeling. hands open or closed, eyes open or closed, in a church, at home, or outside, in the morning or at night. These are all side issues subject to personal preference, conviction, and appropriateness. God's desire is for prayer to be a real and personal connection between Himself and us. The next point is, when should we pray? And there's many different times that we can pray, and the Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible is clear that we should pray always, and we should. However, there are some circumstances in our lives that should trigger immediate prayer. Here are 8 circumstances that should trigger prayer. When we are sad, sickness, death, marital conflict, conflict with children, loneliness, or anything else that makes us sad. When we are happy, don't be like the 9 lepers who Jesus healed. They forgot to return and thank Him for His blessing. We need to praise God. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise, James 1:13. When we are tempted, Jesus taught us to pray that we not enter into temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," Matthew 6:13. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Paul wrote, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure." When we are worried, the Bible teaches us to cast their burdens on the Lord. Paul wrote, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God," Philippians 4:6. In Matthew 6:25 through 34, Jesus taught us about worry. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." When we have a great decision to make or a problem to solve, to solve difficult problems or make great decisions, we need God's wisdom to guide us. The Bible teaches that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you, James 1:5. The day before Jesus chose His 12 apostles, He spent the entire night in prayer. Before He was crucified, He spent time praying so hard that His sweat was like drops of blood. Before He started His ministry, He fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights. There are times when we must make big decisions which will affect the rest of our lives. In such hours, we need divine guidance. We must pray first before seeking the guidance of others. When we are discouraged, in living the Christian life, we should not quit. We need to turn to God in prayer. Jesus said, Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. When we are discouraged, let us ask God to send us some help in the form of other Christians. When we have evil thoughts, lust, stealing, disobedience, jealousy, malice, slander, the devil is always going to put thoughts in our minds, but we cannot dwell on those thoughts and act on them. I have been told that some of you steal. That starts with a thought that Satan puts in your heart. Then you take it and dwell on it, accept it, and start devising schemes to carry out the act. Then you become a servant of Satan because you allowed that thought. The way to stop it is to reject the thought and pray to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Everything that you do or feel starts with a thought. Our thoughts control our feelings. We get angry because of our thoughts. You want to sin like that because you have allowed the thought to dwell in your head. It's not your fault that the thought came to you. It's your fault that you dwell on it and keep. So what should you do? Reject the thought the moment it comes and go kneel down and pray to God to help you overcome the temptation of the devil. We cannot keep birds from flying over our heads, but we can prevent them from nesting in our hair. In the same way, we can not prevent every temptation, but we can keep ourselves from dwelling on these evil thoughts. When we have sinned, John instructed us to pray for our forgiveness of our sins. He said, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1, 7-9. Remember that we are to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And the last point that I have is why we should pray. And it really is because God always hears us and he will always answer us one way or another, whether we like the answer or not. We should always be willing to accept it. And I'm going to read some stories. Some of them are just random stories I found, and then some are from the Bible, but they're about God answering prayers in sometimes miraculous ways. Many years ago, James Rogers of the Alabama Conference of the Methodist Episcopal Church told the story of Annie Clayton of San Jose, California. As a child, she and her sister, Vani, took a long walk one Saturday morning to collect some scraps of wood as fuel for heating their family's home. As they returned, Vani collapsed from the lingering effects of cholera and was unable to proceed. Annie, who was only 5 years old, was helpless, and they sat beside the road not knowing what to do. Finally, Vani said, "You know, Annie, a good while ago, Mother told us that if we ever got into trouble, we should pray, and God would help us. Now you help me get down upon my knees and help me up, and I will pray, and we will pray." So there on the sidewalk, the two sisters prayed earnestly for someone to come along to help them. Then they resumed sitting on the curb, waiting to see how God would answer their prayers. Far down the street, they spotted a man who walked out of a factory and looked curiously up the street, and the girls thought perhaps he was the answer from God. But the man went back into the factory. Presently, he came out again, looked up the street, and re-entered the factory. Then the man walked out of the factory a third time, wearing his hat, and he walked toward them. Approaching the children, the man said in a broken German accent, "Oh, children, what is the matter?" When they explained the situation to him, the German hoisted Vani up in his brawny arms and carried her all the way home. Once the girls were safely delivered, the gentleman told his story. He was the proprietor of an ink factory, and he had been working hard on payroll checks for his men. Suddenly, as he was poring over his books, his eyes had clouded up and vision had blurred. He had an impression that someone on the street wanted to see him, so he stepped outside and tried to focus his eyes up and down the street. Seeing no one, he returned to his desk and tried to work. The darkness in his vision was even worse, and the impression was even greater. He walked outside again, puzzled. Then he returned to work again, but his fingers would not grasp the pen. He found himself unable to write a word. Moreover, the impression on his mind was under. So he fetched his hat and walked up the street in bewilderment until he saw the girls who had prayed earnestly for someone to come along and help them. A young man had been to Wednesday night Bible study. The pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying the Lord's voice. The young man couldn't help but wonder, does God still speak to people? After service, he went out with some friends for coffee and pie and discussed the message. Several different ones talked about how God had led them in different ways. It was about 10 o'clock when the young man started driving home. Sitting in his car, he just began to pray, God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I will listen. I will do my best to obey. As he drove down the main street of his town, he had the strangest thought to stop and buy a gallon of milk. He shook his head and said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply and started on toward home. But again, the thought, buy a gallon of milk. The young man thought about Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God and how little Samuel ran to Eli. Okay, God, in case that is you, I will buy the milk. It didn't seem like too hard of a test of obedience. He could always use the milk. He stopped and purchased the gallon of milk and started off toward home. As he passed 7th Street, he again felt the urge. Turn down that street. This is crazy, he thought, and drove on past the intersection. Again, he felt that he should turn down 7th Street. At the next intersection, he turned back and headed down 7th. Half jokingly, he said out loud, Okay, God, I will. He drove several blocks when suddenly he felt like he should stop. He pulled over to the curb and looked around. He was in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst neighborhood either. The businesses were closed and most of the houses looked dark, like the people were already in bed. Again, he sensed something. Go and give the milk to the people in the house across the street. The young man looked at the house. It was dark, and it looked like the people were either gone or they were already asleep. He started to open the door and then sat back in the car seat. Lord, this is insane. Those people are asleep, and if I wake them up, they are going to be mad, and I will look stupid. Again, he felt like he should go and give the milk. Finally, he opened the door. Okay, God, if this is you, I will go to the door and I will give them the milk. If you want me to look like a crazy person, okay. I want to be obedient. I guess that will count for something, but if they don't answer right away, I am out of here. He walked across the street and rang the bell. He could hear some noise inside. A man's voice yelled out, Who is it? What do you want? Then the door opened. Before the young man could get away, the man was standing there in his jeans and t-shirt, and he looked like he had just got out of bed. He had a strange look on his face and didn't seem too happy to have some stranger standing on his doorstep. What is it? The young man thrust out the gallon of milk. Here, I bought this for you. The man grabbed the milk and rushed down a hallway, speaking loudly, seemingly to himself. Then from down the hall came a woman carrying the milk toward the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a baby. The baby was crying. The man had tears streaming down his face. The man began speaking and half crying. We were just praying. We had some big bills this month and we ran out of money. We didn't have any milk for our baby. I was just praying and asking God to show me how to get some milk. His wife in the kitchen yelled out, I asked him to send an angel with some. Are you an angel? The young man reached into his wallet and pulled out all the money he had on him and put in the man's hand. He turned and walked back toward his car, and the tears were streaming down his face. He knew that God still answers prayers. And then the last one I will read is 2 Kings 21 through 7. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Azariah, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So, in closing, the thing that kept coming back to me was that I never pray enough, and you can't pray enough. So we should always be willing to pray and listen to God, and hopefully as you go from here, you'll maybe think about it sometimes to just pray a little more. Do you have a song? 827, if you'll stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can all come here and worship you and be able to pray. I pray that you would help us to remember throughout this week to pray more and to listen to you, and as we listen to you, to be able to obey you. And I just pray for safety as everyone goes from here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer.
Last verse.
Sweet hour.